fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to talk this week about themes from St. Peter and St. Paul, the exhortation that the apostles give to each one of us to be renewed in our minds, to put on a fresh, new spiritual way of thinking, and to kind of, based on what Christ has done for us, to take action and to lay hold of the grace that we've been given to be able to live a whole new way of life, to be able to live in the grace and the power, the joy and the goodness of our Lord, and to be able to walk in communion with Him and His people and to engage His mission. But it does require, and what we hear from the apostles so clearly, it requires that we take action. St. Peter says, gird up our loins. We'll talk about what that means. But I want to begin with a couple of passages from St. Paul and then go to 1 Peter today. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, after Paul spends quite a bit of time in the earlier part of that letter just talking about the amazing realities of what God has accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. And there's that beautiful prayer at the end of the first chapter where St. Paul prays that all of those who are now following Christ could experience the grace of the Holy Spirit, giving to each person in their heart a revelation of the knowledge of the Lordship and majesty of Jesus Christ, His power, His glory, His beauty, so that our hearts and our minds could be just captivated by Him, as St. Paul and the apostles were captivated by Him, that life-transforming gift of faith and that allows us to put Jesus at the center of our life and to gaze upon Him, and in that gaze to be refreshed in our hearts, to be renewed by Christ. And so Paul, building on that, challenges then the Ephesians this way. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says, put off the old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new nature, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. So there's a putting off and there's a putting on. It's a key theme in Paul's letter to the Colossians as well. He'll say the same thing even more extensively there. The exhortation to put off our former way of living and former way of thinking. Here he said, the former manner of life. What's the way of life we used to live before we met Christ? What's the way of life? What was our life characterized by? Here he points to the life of the Ephesians and said, look, you were corrupted by deceitful lusts, by the desires of the flesh, that war against the spirit, the desires of the flesh that bring us down, creating us a desire to be conformed to the world rather than to be conformed to Christ. And so he said, what's needed is a renewal, is a fresh new spiritual way of thinking. In Romans 12:2, he puts it this way. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind so you can prove what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect in the eyes of God. So we're moving from living in the world, being under the domination of sin and sin's conformity to the world. That is to seek my own will. When I'm seeking my own will and I'm not seeking God's will, when I'm not yet in the Spirit of God, under God's grace and power, like St. Augustine, for example, who talked about the battles that he had. He lays it out so clearly in the Confessions. He said he constantly itched the sore of lust that drove his life and controlled him in a deep way. Even though he was moving toward the light, he still had a power at work in him that was bringing him down, leading him away from the will of God, and he knew it. And he was confronted by the slavery that he experienced, despite the fact of his brilliance, despite the fact of his extraordinary constellation of gifts that he'd been given. It was not enough to break the power that was at work in him. And it really was, as Paul talks about here, a manner of life. What was his manner of life? His manner of life for many years was just to say yes to his lusts and the drives that he experienced. And he just gave into it because he enjoyed the pleasure and he didn't want to resist it. He had that famous line where he said, God, please help me sort of take away the lust, but not now. Hear my prayer, but not yet. Because we have an affection for sin and sin is at what drives our former way of life. And what Paul is after and what Peter will tell us as well is that that's the work of a darkened mind, a mind that's still under the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil, that ends up leading us to stay attached to things that ultimately lead to our own destruction and harm us deeply, spiritually. So again, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, Paul says, put off the old nature. So take action. put on what belonged to your former way of life, and was corrupted through deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Lord, we pray today that each one of us, everyone who's listening, that we would say yes to your spirit. You gave us a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life in the power of your spirit. You gave us the sacraments to strengthen us, to free us from sin. You've given us your word to instruct us, that living word that's alive in us. And Jesus, you've made us literally a temple of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit, you yourself dwell in us. And we pray that your desires, your will, would rule us, that we could have this renewed mind, which is your mind. It says, put on the mind of Christ. Put on all that belongs. Holy Spirit, help us be conformed to the person, the manner of life of Jesus, to receive the new nature and actually live in that new nature and declare the victory that that new nature has won in Christ. St. Peter begins his letter, his first letter, this way. He says, to the exiles in the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This is in Asia Minor. This is a church in Asia Minor. I've spoken over the years a few times about the letter, the first and second letter from St. Peter, because I think it's timely. It's a timely letter. He's addressing brothers and sisters who are living in a pagan culture, a hostile culture, and they're oppressed and they're being persecuted because of their beliefs, because of their conformity to Christ. They've made this transformation. They've put off the old and they've turned from their former manner of life, and now they put on Christ, no longer conformed to this world, but as St. Paul said, they're living with a transformed mind. And so Peter exhorts them again, reminding them of their former way of life, and fundamentally helps them understand what happened to you. Why are you able now to move from conformity to the world to conformity to Christ? You are chosen and destined by God the Father. Everybody who's baptized into Christ has been chosen and destined by God the Father. You are chosen. He'll say later, you're part of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. What is God's plan? He wants a new race of people that are conformed to the image of his Son. Why did God send his Son? So that in Jesus, in the person of Jesus, a new creation can begin. A new creation that the old man, the sinful nature, you know, humanity has fallen from glory, but Jesus Christ brings the glory of the Father in his own person, and he passes from death to life, destroying the power of sin and death, and he rises to glory. He rises to a new way of life. And what Peter's talking about here, what we're chosen for, what it means to be a chosen race is we're literally born again. We're brought from death to life by the power of Jesus Christ and the glory that's in him. We are given the power to become children of God. That's literally, the children of God are a whole new race of people that are going to pass from death to life that death no longer has hold of. And there's a new power and a new capacity in us in the Spirit to be like Jesus and to live like him. Ultimately, all who enter the kingdom of heaven are going to be animated by that power, that Spirit of Jesus Christ that enables us to be transformed and to be made holy, which we'll hear from Peter. So we're chosen and we're destined. We have a destiny. You're destined in Christ to participate in what Jesus now possesses in his glory, the glory bestowed on him by the Father, eternal life, joy beyond compare. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, what God has prepared for those who love him. Everything that belongs to Christ, he shares with us. And this is the Father's plan, that our elder brother, Jesus, would give to us his inheritance, what belongs to him. Chosen and destined by God the Father, and sanctified by the Spirit. What does it mean to be sanctified by the Spirit? Sanctified means to be set aside, to be made holy. God is doing the work of making you holy, making me holy. We have to cooperate with that work. We have to acknowledge our sin, repent of our sins, turn to him and say, yes, Lord, do your work in me. And how he does it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. As I said, you're now a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that power, that Spirit's been given to you so that you can now be made holy. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, that Holy Spirit has been given so that you could become holy. It's the most important thing that's happening in your life. You're set apart and sanctified by the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. Obedience to Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be set apart. I now belong to him. It's a really important question to ask ourselves. To whom do I belong? Who am I living for? What's at the center of my life? Who and what has claim on my life? Each one of us purchased at the price of Jesus' blood and set apart by the power of God to become everything that we're meant to be, that we were created to be, by virtue of it being united to the Son, who is everything humanity was meant to be, and more. He gives us a share in what belongs to him. And so the sanctified life, the life for which we were set apart for, is obedience to Jesus Christ. So St. Paul will say in Corinthians and other places, we make it our aim now to please the Lord. He understood. I get it. What Jesus has done now is he's given us a power to live for him and have him at the center of our life. Christ died, St. Paul said, that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but live for him who for their sake died and rose again. So the fundamental passion and the new way of thinking, the renewed mind of a disciple, is rooted right here in what Peter's saying. I understand by the grace of the Holy Spirit that I have been purchased at a price, the price of Christ's own blood, and now I belong to him. And the power and the glory that's in Jesus, the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, has been given to me. And what's begun in me is the fulfillment of all of my desire, which is what? A new creation. I'm a new creation. There's a new power in me. There's the life of Christ that he's begun now, the sanctifying work that is setting me apart, making me holy. By his work, he's conforming me to his image because he's going to fulfill in my life, thanks be to God, the Father's commission to him to bring me and to bring you into that fundamental purpose for which you have been created, I've been created. A destiny we can't reach on our own because of sin, because we're under the power of sin, that St. Paul would say, under the reign of sin, and St. Peter will touch on that as well. We can make a break from that reign of sin because Peter would say here that we now have a new capacity and power in the Spirit to live a life of obedience to Jesus and for the sprinkling with his blood. The blood of Christ has been sprinkled upon us. This is an image related to the sacrifice of Passover in the temple when the high priest or in the Holy of Holies on the day of Yom Kippur, when he went into the Holy of Holies and he sprinkled the blood on the Ark of the Covenant. And it was a time when Israel would be purified and all the blood of goats and calves and the rest was an anticipation of the sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ that would be put on you and me and everyone who hears the gospel and repents and enters the water of baptism. They now are literally united to the death of Jesus. And the blood of Christ, which purifies us, literally frees us from the hold of sin and makes it possible for us, makes it possible for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us so that we can now be conformed to Christ. That's the foundation of the new manner of life. That's the foundation of the new creation and what makes it possible for us to live with renewed minds and to live a new way of life. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.